AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
I'm freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Go
fuck yourself. And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies and gentlemen, NBs, this is the ESE Podcast. This is Eat Sleep Elite, your weekly AEW review and breakdown. And I am your host, one half of your hosting duo anyway, because, you know, if I was just your host, I guess I wouldn't have anyone to throw to right now, which is why I'm here to introduce you to the glorious, the unstoppable, the really unreplaceable, really. I don't think I could replace you. I think if I was given 50 Charlies, they wouldn't be the same Charlie.
You never know.
I mean, if we had a million Charlies, like, I mean, I could probably reproduce you. But, like, that's like a million.
Probably.
That's, you know, that's a lot of Charlies. You know
what I mean? Tom Brady cloned his dog.
Did he really? Did he clone the dog before or after he mistreated it? Anyway, did he clone it after he kicked it or before?
Damn.
Hey, he said it on broadcast, not me, you know? Sometimes you just got to kick the dog. That's what he said. I don't make the rules. I don't follow them either, you know? Yeah, so anyway, I'm introducing you, Charlie. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty solid myself, but I don't think I'm doing as good as you might be.
Colts may have made a monster trade today to, you know, two first-round picks and A.D. Mitchell for Sauce Gardner there. Might be trying to close in on that Super Bowl window a little bit with Danny
Dimes.
Yeah,
I'd say so. As the resident Colts fan of the pod,
it's pretty good.
I think your team went out and made some damn moves, so...
Honestly, you know what? I'm actually surprised this is the only move. Now, maybe they're like, we don't want to move any more capital, anything like that. I was expecting like multiple moves, but maybe they think they already have the guys that they need. I would have expected maybe a move on a linebacker or something. Also,
yeah.
Like, because God only knows if you're a Colts fan, it's Zaire and friends, you know. But honestly, it's kind of been the last 2 years. Zaire has kind of proven he could be the entire linebacking core himself. Like, maybe
like,
it's okay.
Fine. I'll do it myself.
Kind of, yeah. He's kind of Thanos in the linebacker position for the Colts. So it's like, you know, I mean, hey, maybe we still make a move. Like maybe there's a free agent linebacker or something like that that at least has the ability to play some snaps. You know, there's options available to us, you know. And maybe some guys are like not, you know, maybe some of the guys we tried out were like, hey, maybe we actually use these guys. Because I know there was like, you know, we were playing all the young guys at one point because of injuries, but... That aside, you know, obviously the move was for Sauce. Obviously, it's one of the best corners in the league right now. I still am stunned the Jets are made. I mean, yes, for the value they get, but even then, that is an insane move. Trading arguably, probably, if not your best, one of your best defensive players. Like, it's an insane move by the Jets. I'm so glad the Colts somehow managed to get this done because I think we have a chance now. I think we had a chance already, and I think this makes the defense competitive. I think... We're going to have to see how it all plays together, but Charvarius Ward on one side and Sauce Gardner on the other sounds pretty fucking good to me, man. I don't know, like, you know?
That it does, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty fun way to kickstart the day, if you will.
Waking up to that was pretty nice, you know?
Yeah, right?
Got out of bed and I was like, excuse me? I fucking took a nap after, bro. I was like, I need to go back to bed. I can't wake up yet. This day's too crazy. I'm not ready for it. But yeah, with that being said, though, we're here to talk some wrestling, some AEW wrestling stuff. And look, I'll just be honest with everybody. I've been kind of an asshole the last, like, I don't know, 3 weeks on the podcast about this whole Hangman Adam Page title run. And I don't think that's going to stop on this episode. I think I'm still going to be an asshole about it. So I just wanted to let everybody know, before we even get into it, I'm still not happy with what's going on here. So everybody knows. We'll get there. I'll keep it where it's supposed to be, but I'm still not... I don't know about you, Charlie. I'm still not on board with this shit, you know? Like,
yeah, right.
So we'll see when we get there, but Maybe I'll talk myself into it, as I've been known to do on this show. Look, I talked myself into the John Moxley 2024 title reign. If I can do that, you know?
Anything's possible.
Of course. So with that being said, Charlie, we always like to start off the show with a little bit of positivity with our favorites. And this week you have the nod, so go ahead and take us to Collision, buddy.
Yes. So, yeah, we are kickstarting with the final thing of the final match of the whole damn week, right? So, you know, it kind of an easy week.
And I'll just say,
I've favorites.
Been known to game while watching wrestling sometimes just to kind of keep myself entertained, you know? And when I saw this match announced, like, I don't think I realized it was happening. Like, I think I'd heard the match name, but I just didn't realize this was happening this week. And I was like, okay, I put the controller down. That's the kind of match we're talking about here, you know? Like,
yeah, right. So we're jumping into the Wrestler of the Year, Bandido, defending his Ring of Honor World Championship against Mascara Dorada, one of the best young Mexican wrestlers on this planet. So,
maybe the best. I don't know. I'd have to see what else they got going on down there.
Yeah. We kickstarted with these guys get 20 plus minutes. Awesome video package with great ring introductions that make this feel like a big fight. They were just doing everything and anything with their sequences. They're trying to out, like, wrestle each other. The crowd was loving it. Everyone was just on their feet enjoying the hell out of this match. What they gave us was just this beautiful performance. Two of the best luchadors on the planet. The shoulder injury didn't matter. They played into it. I gotta tell you, Duke, I really love this match. I was in awe,
it was just going on. Nagging injury kind of just flaring up in the match, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. So
yeah, he's not hurt or anything. He's just like, it's just the same injury. He had to take a little stop there to make sure he was okay. Like,
yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, I just hope he's good. That's all I'm saying. Cause I know he's wrestling injured right now and he's not able to injure himself more. And I'm just like, well, at least that's the thought in our heads. Right. So as long as he's good, I'm good. Cause this match was incredible. If you were going to be out for a while on another match, good one to end on, you know, like
that it is, no kidding. And I don't know. I really, really love this match. And I think these two guys work some magic together. I don't know. AEW made this.
Some Orlando magic. Sorry.
Yeah, they made this whole fucking night feel special, you know? So I liked it. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, what'd you think of this? And Bandido, again, solidifying himself kind of as the Wrestler of the Year in AEW.
Yeah, I think I said, it's fucking hard for me to keep track of the weeks anymore, but it's either last week or the week before. I think I said that I'd pretty much had penciled in Bandido as my Wrestler of the Year, and all it was really going to take was one more really good match, and I think it was going to be pretty locked down. And I think I would have had maybe other people. I think there would have been, if Mike Bailey had gone solo, I think he might be in the conversation right now, like, especially given the trajectory he was on, facing Okada, facing, you know, all these really ridiculous wrestlers. Tim and Kenny, I think he got in like a month or something like that, right? Like, so, you know, but obviously they found something way better for that guy to do. So, you know, hey, shout outs, you know? But I think, I don't know, I would have to, like, I wish I could like see who I had for, like, you know, penciled in for whoever. Maybe I should start keeping track more, like, who I used to have, you know? But Bandido was always in there because, I mean, you go back to, you know, it might have been Kenny I had potentially penciled in. He's just slowed down a lot in singles toward the end of the year, you know? Like, so it's like, not that his wrestling quality's dropped at all. He's just not doing, Bandito's wrestling a lot more. I mean, you get a lot more sample size. It's just hard to argue with, right? So, but also Bandido to me is just, I mean, three of the four best matches in both AEW and Ring of Honor this year, they're all Bandido matches, you know what I mean? I would say maybe the three, four best matches that the company's put on. They're all Bandido matches, pretty much, with the exception of the Kenny match. And, you know, I think that's the only thing he's just not going to be able to get this year is match of the year. I mean, he's going to get some solo matches of the year. Like, this is going to probably be Collision match of the year. I don't know what's going to beat it, you know. We got 2 months, and I don't know what's been better than this. So, you know. And then, so he'll have those, but I just don't know if he's getting the match of the year. I mean, don't get me twisted. He could wrestle Hangman at fucking World's End for the world title, right? And it's the match of the fucking century. Who knows, right? But don't think that's the direction we're going. We'll have to see. But, you know, it's going to be basically, and this has kind of been the case all year, Charlie, the trajectory has been as high as, the ceiling for Bandido has been as high as he is willing to push himself, basically, because it doesn't seem like there's any limits he can't break. And just to talk about the match a little bit, they had like a nice little technical start to this, you know? It's very fun to see two guys this talented that we know can do all the flippy shit and shit doing that stuff. Because, and I think this is like, I think I had like a fucking epiphany about wrestling while watching this match, dude. Because I was sitting there watching this and I was like, you know, I don't think about this with luchadors a lot. But when I think about lucha wrestling, when I think about just pure lucha matches, the best versions of these matches aren't just flippy nonsense. Yes, there's a lot of that going on in them, don't get me twisted. But they start with a base like this match started, or they start with a feeling out process or something along those lines that sort of lulls the crowd into, okay, these guys are doing this and doing that. And I feel like people mistake the flippy lucha style for they're not able to do this kind of stuff, or that's not the preference for them. I mean, just look at some of the best matches we've had, lucha matches or luchadors having matches with non-luchadors in AEW. It has a similar start to this. Bandido is cut from that same cloth as Kenny, where he is as good of a technical wrestler, you know, to some extent could even be better than he is at all the insane athletic shit, you know? And basically, like, they did this, like, really sick fucking sequence that led into, like, some, I believe it's called Agave? Or no, that's
something like that.
It's Jave? It's Jave, I think. Mexican submission wrestling. It's the shit that fucking Angelico does, you know what I mean? Angelico, whichever your pronunciation you prefer. And also Hechicero as well. It's that style of wrestling. And it kind of makes the reason why the Hechicero match popped off as much as it did. I mean, obviously, he has a really, really great base in this stuff, you know, Bandido. Obviously, you talk about Mascara Dorada. I don't think we're ever signing him, but if we can somehow get him on a dual contract, we should. He's definitely one. Because he can, again, any limit he wants to break, he can probably hit it, you know? He hit this thunderous super kick one point. I think what had just happened, I want to say either Dorada had just rolled back in the ring or Bandido had just rolled back in the ring, but Bandido was like on his knees and he took the super kick to the side of the head. Fucking sounded like he got shot in the head, dude. It was insane.
Yeah.
This match is kind of like why I'm so in support of the CMLL partnership. Because like when it first started, and also AEW featuring Lucha Libre in general, because when it first started, you know, it kind of got birthed out of this whole AEW featuring Lucha Libre thing where we were just bringing in all these guys from both companies, AAA and CMLL, and just saying, hey, fuck it. You can wrestle here and have a good time and put on these insane matches against guys you probably wouldn't be able to wrestle over in Mexico, but maybe a couple times a year, if even that. And yeah. So I'm so in support of this partnership because look at what it's birthing for us. This is not a match that we would have just been able to randomly have if we didn't have this association between the two companies, you know, and the synergy there. So, I mean, there were some really great holy shit moments. Like there's this cutter to the floor that Bandido hits and it just looks like they're both going to die. You know, like, yeah. I mean, hard hitting. The crowd was cooking. Both men were cooking. This is one of my favorite Bandido matches of the year. It's an absolutely magnificent match. I mean, I don't even know what else to say. Just fucking unbelievable stuff. This would have been my favorite 10 times over if it had been my week. Just, I mean, is there anything else you wanted to add that you think I missed or that you didn't really touch on or anything like that? Because I got to tell you, man, we don't get matches like this on TV every week. We get a lot of good matches in AEW on TV, but we don't get matches of this quality every week. And I think that's going to be an award winner this year. I don't even know what can beat it, you know? Watch there be something in the next 2 months that somehow does, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, really just a special match. So what was your favorite this week there, partner?
Yes. All right, so no surprises when you see the names that are going to be in the match. So Young Bucks took on FTR, took on Jurassic Express, took on Jet Speed in a four-corner like tag match. Was this for anything, or was this just because?
No, this was for the match at the pay-per-view.
Okay, I was wondering about that, because I didn't write that down, but I was like, you know, they did the Fatal 4-Way singles match for the title match. This is probably for one, too. I had that thought while watching it, and I just didn't think about it for some reason. There you go. For the shot at the tag team titles against Brodito at pay-per-view, of course, you know, which makes way more sense. I was like, why are these, you know, none of these teams fought last week, but I mean, hey, fuck it. Sometimes AEW does just throw people that are really having good matches against each other, but this feels like a little too many people for that. But hey, anyway, Fatal 4-Way for the shot at the tag titles. Just kind of a party match, four corner extravaganza is what I wrote in my notes. You know, it's kind of like what it was. There's a lot of nonsense going on here, but a lot of athletic freaks, and you have athletic freaks. But you got to have a little bit of balance to that, and that's FTR, man. They're just coming in, shutting everybody down, fucking locking them down, fucking putting them in holds and shit. You know, like,
yeah, no kidding.
And you know, that balancing factor, even in somehow FTR are so balanced in that way that they balance out three insanely athletic, ridiculous teams. You know, like, I mean, there were some sequences between Young Bucks, FTR, and between all four teams, but I was really going more for Young Bucks, Jet Speed, and Jurassic Express, where like they were just hitting insane either springs or fucking kicks or whatever, just combo moves. I don't know what you call them, but like those spots where everyone starts not necessarily hitting finishers, but like at least signature level moves where they're like bang, 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 bang in a row. That sequence in this match was absolutely ridiculous. Luchasaurus, I have to give credit to, dude. He has looked so fucking good since he's been back, which, I mean, he looked great before he was gone. But like, you know, it's just he went through a rough time there. He's been gone for a while. You just never fucking know, you know, like, so to see him killing it the way he is makes me so fucking happy. Jurassic Express are 1,000,000% back, and they feel like they never missed a step. What a great time to be a fan of that team. What a great time just to be a fan of wrestling in general right now. It's kind of excellent timing. The Bucks, of course, did start bucking, but then they got, you know, FTR. Tried to then FTR on them, ate an EVP trigger. Then that was only for two. I don't remember exactly what happened after this. I do know there was like an EVP trigger hit on like Kevin Knight at one point, and then I think maybe Dax gets involved at that point or something like that. Anyway, and it creates a kerfuffle. The Bucks get thrown out of the way. FTR, I think, then hit a shatter machine. I want to say. Either that or they had some kind of move. And they fucking
something
win
like
the match. They stole the match. That's all I know. The important part I got down, which is that FTR stole the win over Kevin Knight. Are we starting them versus the Bucks again? Is that what's going on here? I mean, hey, it's always a good match, you know?
Maybe.
It's a good one to end the year on. I mean, maybe not for Full Gear, but maybe they'll cost them the match at Full Gear. Oh, wait, no, wait. Wait, is that fucking money match on Full Gear or is that on TV? Oh, God.
It's Full Gear.
Okay, yeah, so I guess they won't be wrestling them a Full Gear. Yeah. So I guess it'll, if they do, okay, hear me out. FTR going on later in the night. Because, I mean, obviously it's a tag title match anyway, but FTR, they're going to cost FTR that match because they're going to lose the money match.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, maybe that won't happen. Maybe they're actually just ships passing in the night again. That does happen. But hey, I can dream here. Yeah, I mean, I guess your thoughts on the match. I mean, you know, I don't love Kevin Knight taking the pin here, but I mean, you know, I mean, we probably don't want a Jurassic Express loss here. So, you know, any thoughts on this match that, you know, I don't know, that you wanted to add? I mean, it was a really good match in my opinion.
Yeah, this was a good match. You know, we kind of saw this. The build last week, we knew that we were going to get these number one contender matches, and they're both four ways. We were leaning Jurassic Express just based on the booking of going into the match, so it was a pleasantly surprised result of FTR winning, but it makes all the sense in the world. FTR versus Bandido or Brodito, you know, it's going to be a good match. Match itself, I mean, it's the ultimate party match, right? I thought everyone looked like great in this. I thought it kind of set the tone for the show. The Young Bucks and that whole big entrance they had was really fun. And dude, there's a lot of just really enjoyable, fun storylines happening right now. And the Young Bucks eventually having to repent is one of them that's constantly in our face. But yet it's great every time. So I thought Stokely added some fun stuff on
commentary
with this.
They're going to lose the money match, bro. They had to repent before they could be rich again.
Yep. So I thought Stokely was great in this. And like you said, everyone got their time to shine. Tag division is on absolute fire right now. And I'm just loving every moment of it. So, yeah, great picks this week. A great, great week of wrestling we had.
Honestly, this was one of those weeks, this week, last week, and maybe even the week before, there's been so many good matches. It's been like, I mean, just pick. It may match on the show and it'll be good. You know, like,
yeah.
Even the opener, this one would have been... I'll tell you, close ones. Opening match of Dynamite was really close for me. Kyle O'Reilly versus Jon Moxley really got going in the second version of it, I think. And the main event. I mean, honestly, and there was a couple other matches on Collision, to be real. Like the tag match with Konosuke and Kazuchika. I mean, look, dude. This is just a really solid weekend ring. Sometimes you just kind of can pick whatever you want and kind of everyone will be able to understand where you're coming from. It's not like there were a couple of early episodes of this where like the Dynamites were like one women's match and like a couple of tag matches and one main event solo match. And it was like, you know, like this wasn't really rocking.
Yeah.
None of them really hit, you know, and there was some really rough fucking Jesus. What was that other show we used to have called?
Rampage, baby.
Rampage. Oh. Shit, I already forgot what Rampage was. No, that's bad. But there were some really rough episodes of Rampage, you know, three matches and all three of them just miss, you know? No, it's never been like that since, though. Shout out Tony Khan. Always very
consistent. Never want that. So, all right. Well, we got a little bit of news today that we will dive into. All right, our first little docket of news, if you will, is AEW has moved on their training ring, I guess, if you will. So AEW has recently moved all their storage items from Florida to Nashville. So that involved taking a ring wrestlers used to train as part of their
recovery process. Are we still going to do fucking homecoming shows then if we're not based out of fucking Florida anymore?
Oh, I'm sure they will. Yeah, I don't think they didn't keep anything at Daly's place. I imagine that's they start fresh there every time. But
I just mean like Jacksonville has been the home base for AEW. It's like been like the Connecticut of AEW for the whole time it's been in existence. You know, I think even the offices are down there, aren't they?
I think so, yeah. But
if they're not at the training facility, you know, like
all their Florida store. I mean, maybe it does move to Nashville and Nashville becomes the home. Who knows? Right? So.
I mean, hey, the home of AEW doesn't need to be a place. It could be a vibe, you know, like it doesn't need to be a location. But it is weird because AEW is very tradition based. You think that maybe this signals us moving a little bit away from that? Or do you think this just has nothing to do with
could
that?
Could be. We've already seen some stuff move this year. So Chris Jericho has abandoned the trademark for Jericho Vortex. A lot of nothing there. I just wanted to update.
I mean, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, we covered it when they did it, so. Might
it was
well.
Going to be either the funniest thing ever or so dumb and probably just never got anywhere.
Fightful Select is reporting that former AEW World Champion MJF is set to finish filming for Violent Night 2 relatively soon. It isn't known when he is to return to TV. According to the report, MJF has, quote, the acting bug and has spoken about how much he enjoyed filming. So. Look, I don't want to, like, upset people by this, but I think this is just the reality. MJF has a legitimate chance at being a Hollywood A-lister because of how funny he is. Look at the people that are comedians or comedy actors right now that are just everywhere when it comes to Hollywood. MJF could be that kind of person. So. Like, that's why when we covered his wrestling reign, his wrestling world championship reign, we would make little comments even then. He's probably not long for the wrestling business.
I think the best version of how you knew that was the stuff with him and Adam Cole, the stuff they were doing backstage, you know, and also on the road. Like, that was basically like SNL skits on a lower scale. You know what I mean? Like, essentially.
Yeah.
Like,
and there's a lot of wrestlers that are making this transition, and it's happening more and more. I'm just not going to be terribly surprised if wrestling becomes a thing of, you know, he's going to do it a couple times a year.
God, MJF should host SNL. I don't think he's big enough, but imagine. That'd be cool.
Imagine. And, you know, I think that'll help him in AEW, too, is, you know, that'll help AEW.
Saturday Night Live. Is that even possible?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Fuck, Netflix might just be owning everything soon, so.
Fuck it. Fuck we ball.
At this rate.
Saturday night Netflix.
And then I think it's just Ospreay's little updates on his injury. 6 weeks post-op, doing great. Targeting January 2026.
Hey, so, could be a good month.
Yeah, but that's it for news. I mean,
you know
like
we need
I said,
to see him face, bro. We need that Bandido match, dog. That match with him.
We
do. Going to be a fucking banger. Maybe that's his first match back, awesome. Bro. Ring of Honor World Championship. Lock it in.
Yeah. Well, I guess let's toss it to you then for taking over Dynamite this week.
Da-da-dynamite. Da-da-dynamite. Yes. 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 We're right. Right. I think I want to say I missed a thing where they talked about some shit at the start of the show. I fucking didn't write it down, though, so I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, the show started when Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy came out. And they took on Wheeler and Daniel Garcia. I mean, on paper, this is stupidly a good match, you know? I mean, it's Darby Allin who is... I mean, he's Darby Allin. And Orange Cassidy, again, still, I think, somehow underrated for being one of the best wrestlers on the roster, but he is. It's tough with the field that he's in now, but I still think he stands out amongst. Wheeler Yuta, we know how good Wheeler is. And Daniel Garcia, I mean, it's our fucking boy, you know? So it's like, you know, I think on paper, this is a match that we should really like. And I think, I mean, I can't speak for you, but I know I did. They were choking them off the rip with, I think one of them was a towel, maybe, and the other one was maybe a shirt, something like that. They choked them up anyway, so that was interesting. Hot little start there. This was a tornado tag match, so there were some lax rules. Darby set up Wheeler, I believe it was, on a chair and hit a lope, and he was seated on it. It was a nice little spot there. I did like the use of the tornado tag rules here. Brian is still phenomenal on commentary. There was table violence, there was plunder galore all around the place, chairs, all kinds of shit. It's kind of a really hot way to open up the show, I thought. We had a double team surfboard at one point between Wheeler and Danny. That's some really interesting stuff there. I don't know that I've ever seen that, really, you know? So they're innovating wrestling, just chilling, you know? Okay. There was a really smart spot that I think Danny hit in this, where he used, like, a rear naked choke submission to set up a spot where Cassidy got laid up on the table. And therefore wasn't able to move off of the table in time because he had just been choked. That's good shit right there. I'm sorry. That's good shit. You know? Like, I know it's super simple, but like, that makes so much more sense than just laying a guy on a table. You know, like, I don't know. But I really liked that. It really, really worked for me. And that also was, they used that, so it was after Cassidy had just fired up and they kind of cut him off and then they got him into the choke, then put him on the table, took him out of the match. Darby then tried to goad Danny basically, you know, into like being overzealous and tried to catch him with a quick, swift pin. Didn't work out. There were some nards deleted. There was a diving DDT and a coffin drop for two. There was a tope through a table, and that was hit by Cassidy, I believe. And then a scorpion deathlock locked in by Darby Allin to pick up the win. Charlie, what did you think of this match? And I guess this confirms scorpion deathlock is now Darby's move.
Yeah, right? I liked it. I really liked this match. I thought, you know, every time we see our favorite little pairing here of Yuta and Garcia, I'm always a little excited at what it's going to bring us. Smart match. I liked Danielson again. Acknowledging, yeah, what they're doing, it's not cheating. They're just being smart. So him throwing the chair at him and shit like that, it wasn't cheating. It was just being smart, taking advantage of the opportunity in front of them. So yeah, I enjoyed all the guys in this, and I would like to see maybe Yuta and Garcia start picking up some wins eventually. But besides that, I mean, it's Darby Allin. The ultimate TV wrestler in Orange Cassidy was fun tonight, so I love what happened next.
Yes, and I want to actually pull this up because I wrote it down and I liked it, but I just want to make sure that I get the full, like, because I know you liked this and I don't
want to
like.
Well, I can take it from here. I got it.
Sure, if you want to, because so, I just didn't write
so
it down exactly.
So we finally get a shot of Hook.
Yes, I knew Hook was backstage, by the way. I had that Hook down. I just didn't have the details.
Hook is kind of right now, like, he's in a very, very peculiar spot because he finally kind of started to find his groove a little bit.
Yeah.
Gets injured, returns,
mm-hmm.
Gives Samoa Joe the side eye. About a month later, Joe turns heel and all the rest is history, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want to take that logical standpoint, we see Hook here, and he said he's the underdog tonight. He's in there with all the vets, and he wouldn't want it any other way. And he's going to be doing his best to make sure that Samoa Joe doesn't win tonight, as he's going to show the rest of the world who he really is. Someone Hook already knew. Now, I loved this. First off, Hook came across as believable. Yes, he was good later in the match, and we'll get to that too. But This was a very important promo, Duke. I think this is something we've been talking constantly about. Hook needed a direction. Why did he do the Samoa Joe thing? If you want to tie Samoa Joe's inevitable heel turn to Hook leaving, I don't care if it was never the plan. That's a smart thing to do because that makes sense. And again, this makes Hook look smart. I thought this brought an intriguing perspective to the fight. He had a bullet on Samoa Joe. He said he was the underdog, but he still earned it. And you know why? Because the motherfucker was 15-0. So he didn't care. He's like, yeah, I've been in this position. I'm going for my 16th win in a row here. I'm 15-0 this year. Let's fucking do it. You know? So yeah, I really liked having this perspective. It was quick. It was 40 seconds, but it got a lot of points across that we've been talking about.
I also appreciate this was the only, like, actually, I don't think we got any other videos of anybody else in the match talking about this match, yeah. Right? Which
that's no one else needed it.
No, everyone else, their case is spoken for them, you know?
We've tried so many things with Hook, like the backstage vignettes of him kind of remember sitting on like the stairs. We did the Batman.
There has
thing.
Always been flashes of greatness with Hook in ring and in backstage segments.
Yes. They've and they never want quite something to work.
They could.
And if you want him, if you want to take a turn where he ends up being this really guy, this guy that knew the writing was on the wall with Joe, but he didn't want to be a scumbag and cheat to win because you know, you could do this whole thing if he doesn't want to disrespect his dad by being a fucking lying, cheating bastard, right? And then eventually, if he becomes that white meat babyface, when he eventually does turn, this is the shit you can plan, you know, 3-5 years out in a row, 6-7 years out in a row.
You
could
play
you know?
That a couple of different ways too. Like, I almost kind of wish Joe had lost so they could have gone into a feud with each other because you could really dig into that. You could be like, well, I was trying to teach you how to win and how to be good. And, you know, you may think your father was a certain way, but he's the one that taught me. He showed me the way to win in this business. And you may not like it, but what I'm trying to teach you is what your father taught me, you know? And then, you know, maybe you get Taz involved and Taz is like, hey, I taught you things. I never taught you this. You know, like
exactly. And it's why, you know, when we get into the match, you know, everyone was kind of tunnel visioned in this match. And I think, again, Samoa Joe uses his expertise to take advantage of that.
100%.
Unfortunately, the only one that I think got hurt in that match was Bobby. Because again,
he didn't really do a lot. Yeah.
He would have the same pedigree as Joe. He would be as smart as Joe. But he didn't, you know, he's the only one that was kind of left out to dry. But in that scenario, someone has to be. So, you know. Obviously, it's just
I think when Bobby gets his world title shot, it's going to be huge. So I think he's fine. You know, like I don't think it's going to matter. I think
didn't happen. You could have done that exact same spot with Bobby Lashley.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I agree.
But I don't know what did you were you feeling as kind of almost
I was
vindicated
certain Joe was winning
was?
This. So like I just like that part of it for me, I was so certain Joe was winning this. Like I was like, I hope they at least do something with Hook. You know what I mean? Like that way.
Yeah, but with this Hook promo, were you almost feeling like as vindicated as I was? Like finally. He
able
to address the Samoa Joe thing.
Sure.
And
I mean,
he did it in a smart way.
Sure. And I think that if you're going to put Hook in a good direction, like this is the way you do it. I just wish they could have locked him up with Joe for a little bit because that would have been good for both of their careers, I feel like. But, you know, even with Joe as Trios champion, I wouldn't mind that. Like, just kind of chilling for a little bit if it's for the purposes of Hook, you know. You could even get him to find a couple guys to team with. I don't know who it would be, but, you know. Like,
and Hook's one of those guys that are going to constantly throw shit at the wall and see what sticks. So I'm always going to try and, you know, give it a fair shot. And that's obviously what we'll do with everyone. But with Hook, it's always a little different because you're like, all right, here we go. What are we trying now? And I dug it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. All right. Don Callis is backstage and the Young Bucks are also back there. He approached them and said, hey, if you join me, I will give you your pyro back. So, you know, and your music. So he did that. Cool, I guess. Shout out Don Callis. Don Callis, apparently, rich as fuck, can get anything to happen that he wants, you know?
I loved this, and I loved the Young Bucks not completely turning it down, because at this point, they shouldn't turn anything down.
No, they should be desperate, bro. Yes. They're broke Bucks. They should be fucking looking for ways out, you know?
But you can still feel it, especially in Matt's face, that he knows
they're definitely taking a deal with the devil.
They can't join this guy because of what they did to Kenny. They wouldn't ever do Kenny like that. They'll fucking fuck with him and stab him in the back, but they won't do what he did. They'll let Jack Perry take the fall for that, right? They'll let other people constantly take the fall in these brutal situations. Okada did once, right? So It's always interesting. They don't want to take that next step with them, but it sets it up into a fun way.
Do you think that will create conflict between Okada and the Bucks? Or do you think...
Oh, absolutely.
And do you think that's... Okay, and if that's the feud, do you think that him and Konosuke squash their beef because he needs somebody on that level to beat the Bucks?
Yeah, I do wonder who is eventually...
Truce, maybe not squashing their beef, but like a truce. I mean, I don't know who Okada's tag partner would be besides that, you know what I mean? Because he's only really been with the Bucks.
It's just so hard to pick because I think it's just inevitably going to be, you know, an of-the-moment thing.
Probably just like Josh Alexander or something like that, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I wouldn't be surprised that if when this eventually does happen and Okada's actually the one against him, he might just partner with someone like fucking Jon Moxley. You know what I mean? Like,
it could be that simple, yeah.
It's so hard to actually kind of plan out because I don't ever see him having a direct one-to-one partner.
It's tough. Konosuke is about the only one I think, and you need to have them as rivals. Yeah. So, you know.
Or Fletch, because Fletch fits with everyone, right? But
Fletchmeister.
Yeah. So it's interesting, though.
We talked about the FTR and Young Bucks, Jurassic Express. Blah blah blah.
By the way, can you believe that match was under 14?
It did feel like a little bit of a sprint.
It was a fucking sprint.
You know, that's why it felt like crazy. It was great that when you put those four teams in a sprint, duh. I mean, they're not like other teams where like they might, you know, might get a little jumbled, you know? Like it's all gonna get in. They're smart wrestlers. And I mean, honestly, FTR might be low key the best psychology guys in the business. So like I think if you just give them a match, if I was those other three teams, I'd say, hey, these are the athletic as fuck stuff we're going to do. What do you think for the structure of the match, FTR? And then, boom, you're probably good, you know? Like, because they're going to know how to fucking structure shit pretty well. We had a video package for Joe versus Hangman, which, look, I said I was going to be an asshole. I know it's as obvious as fuck to anybody under the sun where this was going. But, like... Really, we're doing video packages for Joe versus Hangman before he even wins the fucking match?
I know.
Like, why would somebody have cut this video package? In if we're just saying in fucking canon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, we had the Don Callis Family Summit to dispel the rumors about Takeshita and Okada being enemies. They revealed a new painting. Takeshita was said to not be available. He showed up in the middle of Kyle talking. Takeshita and Okada were then forced to shake hands by Don Callis. Okada refused to hit him with the fuck you, and there was tension there. They almost fought. Don Callis says, we are going to be a team. You're going to get along. You're going to tag team on Collision this Saturday. Okay.
Yep.
We got a video package for Olympia. And she looks interesting, you know? Kyle O'Reilly took on Jon Moxley. A little bit of scientific grappling to start us off here, buddy. Hella underrated part of Jon's game, in my opinion.
And, when you said scientific, it just fucking, my brain just like spazzed. I just went to that fucking scene in I Love LA where she's flicking off the Scientology building. Like, it was so vivid, I can't explain what just happened.
That was a very scientific scene. That's great. That's honestly awesome. That's such a pure, genuine podcast moment.
Just, I was like, wait, whoa. It was so vivid. It was like I was watching it on the screen.
Whoa. Hey, maybe that's why this was on my brain. But yeah, anyway.
Hey, little buddy.
In my opinion, it's a hella underrated part of Jon Moxley's wrestling game, Charlie, is his ability to grapple and do technical wrestling, which makes sense considering he was fucking tag partners with fucking Bryan Danielson for like 3 years. So checks out, you know. But also something I noted in this match, and I guess I probably noted this in a lot of match, is by Mr. O'Reilly, is that he got a lot of unique selling that I feel like I don't see a lot of other people doing. I feel like he sells in a special way. Maybe it's because he's got long legs or something. I don't know. It's the way he sells is good. I like Kyle. Kyle too is great. I mean, there was like a submission locked into the outside that led to a double count out. Another non-result between these two. Kyle was begging the ref to restart the match. But the ref got assassinated by the Death Riders. Roddy then tried to come in and help. The rest of the Death Riders come in. They push off the Death Riders did come in. Then the conglomeration also did come in and push them off. And then Orange Cassidy says Blood and Guts. So this now confirms Blood and Guts is, it's going to be two Blood and Guts matches and probably a promo segment in between or something. That's probably the whole show, right? Because it's 2 hours and the matches go like an hour each. Or do you think we're going to get one on Dynamite, one on Collision? Like, how is this going to work? Because we have two matches announced now for Blood and Guts.
Yeah.
That are Blood and Guts matches. So is that whole show just going to be all Blood and Guts, or is it going to be one Blood and Guts match?
I'm guessing so at this point, yeah.
Which, I mean, hey.
First hour of that match, maybe something in between, second hour of the other match.
Is Blood and Guts going to be a 3-hour show?
I don't know.
It might have to be now.
Yeah.
Like, which I'm fine with. If we don't get a Collision that week, I mean, it's just easier for us to review. It won't be a lot for us to talk about, but we'll probably stretch it to at least an hour, I'm sure. Favorites are going to be really easy that week.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Won't have to think about that one too much. But instead, and maybe in that case, we'll still call them favorites and we'll still lock them in, but it'll be a little bit of a default cheese, you know, for the, everyone getting them in that match, you know? Whereas we'll kind of just probably talk about both matches like together, I think, because it'll just be easier to do that. As opposed to each picking one and just talking about it. Although maybe they're both good enough individually that we can just do that. Mercedes finds Statlander backstage after the... So I actually missed something earlier in the show. I apologize. I actually meant to include it earlier. So, but I figured since I wrote this down here, I would just address it here. So Statlander was backstage earlier in the show, and I forget exactly what she said, but she basically just said that she didn't think Mercedes had what it took to beat her. You know what I mean? Like that she was better than when she lost to Mercedes before and that she doesn't think she's going to be able to beat her, right? So... Mercedes then finds her because she's like, okay, this bitch, this bullshit, what do you mean, you know? And they sort of, you know, fight a little bit. Athena gets involved. Willow arrives. So they brawled to the front, and then that's when all the people get involved. So, you know, obviously we now have our established teams. I do like that they're getting a little bit of flavor on some. I wasn't expecting this, and it's something I do complain about with AEW's tournament sometimes, Charlie, is the whole idea of we don't build up any of these matches that we're not having this week, you know?
Yep.
Because that could help sell your tournament. Just saying, you know? They did it for the first C2, and my God, do you remember how the C2 fucking was when we had matches a week or two out? People being like, oh, fucking already starting to get advantages on each other, and shit was great.
It was so good.
And they've done it again since, but, we just gotta... I love that energy finding its way into other tournaments, and this was... So what did you think of this? Do you like this? Do you think that's good for the tournament? I mean, I would have thought to think you do, but I don't know. I'm just asking you anyway.
Yeah, I think it's nice. Like, let's fucking, keep raising these stakes. Let's make people care.
And I hope this means that we're going to get some random ass fucking women's tag feuds that aren't for the titles, too. That sounds cool to me. I mean, that's a great way to get a lot of people on shows, you know? So, and it's not going to be just putting them on there because it's going to be just like every other title match, non-title match that's on a pay-per-view. It's usually pretty good chance one of the people in that might be going for the world title or the next title or whatever title, you know, at the next pay-per-view or in the next view. So, really cool segment of Bandido bringing his abuela to see him do his thing for the first time ever in America. That's fucking so heartwarming, man. Just great stuff. So happy.
So
Bandido,
good.
Man. It's on top of the world. Queen Aminata and Jamie Hayter took on the Sisters of Sin in the first round of the AEW Women's World Tag Team Championship Tournament. It started really fast with this one. So I actually wrote in my notes, I wonder if this match is going to be a little bit different than some of the other ones because of all the history between these two teams, right? Like, obviously, you know, you had Tekla and Aminata battling for a while, and now Jamie Hayter seems to have sort of injected herself into that as well. So, you know, it seems like, and I actually like that these two are kind of united, united by necessity because they were already being dogged by this team of three. So they needed to unite in order to even have a chance. So, and then they just stayed together for the tournament because they wanted a chance to, you know, maybe win some gold because they had good synergy. It's just good stuff, you know? Like, one thing we have to give credit for this tournament for, it almost feels organically built, which is kind of insane to think about. Tony Khan's been planting the seeds for months and we didn't even realize it. And here we are, and it's beautiful. I gotta be honest with you, Charlie. I was not expecting the Sisters of Sin to win here.
No, me either.
So I'm a pleasantly surprised because I like that team. I we'll have to see Aminata and Jamie do from now on. They might just be on pause for a little bit, maybe doing some single stuff, but. At least in this division. But yeah, Sisters of Sin pick up the win here. And at one point, Tetla got involved, which I think is why I said her and Hayter are probably going to be doing stuff because she did fuck over Hayter a little bit. And So I think her and Hayter are probably going to be, maybe that's what the reason is here, Charlie, because they're going to be doing a singles thing. And so that's why they don't want to just lock them into like a, you know, tag feud right now. And so they just have Sisters of Sin win and then maybe they come back to it later. But for right now, at least, you know, they're going to be focused on the tournament and probably Tekla and Jamie are going to be, you know, going at it. So, you know, I don't know. Your thoughts on everything I was just rambling about. And I mean, yeah, how surprised are you about the Sisters of Sin, man? It's kind of wild.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting them to necessarily win right away, but I think we were talking a lot last week on, you know, even whoever we predicted to win could definitely see them losing. Like, everything's kind of in the air. The only match that didn't feel like had a shot of a 50-50 was Alex Windsor and Riho's match, those guys taking an L. Like, those are the only ones that seem like they're going to take an L. This was a good match. Sisters of Sin look like a good team. I was constantly wondering, how are they going to present this tournament to us? And it felt important. So, yeah, I'm optimistic for what's going forward with this. Does this entire tournament with Blood and Guts, like, how is that all going to play into it, right? Very, very sad for Penelope Ford here.
Yeah, that's a tragic one. Her not being able to wrestle in this tournament is fucking brutal.
That is,
because again, yes, we give credit to TJ. Megan Bain and Penelope Ford are just responsible in the last year for anybody for this tag division getting made, because they have been a tag team since day one when Megan Bain got here, pretty much. So, like, yeah, it's like sad to see. You're not wrong. It's a pretty brutal one, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but, you know,
she's had such a good year too. Like, she might, if there wasn't like Mercedes and Athena out there this year, she might have been like somehow in contention for wrestler of the year, you know. Like, she's had a lot of really good matches. We forget because she's always in the shadow of Megan Bain, but she's been having a really good fucking year. I've been paying attention to it. I think I've picked her as a favorite multiple times. Like, it's,
yeah, she's doing the damn thing, and it sucks that worst possible timing for this injury.
Now, that being said, during this segment where we find out about this, Megan Bain's like, I'm going to need a new partner. And Marina Shafir appears, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
My God. I'm kind of with John Moxley on this one. I had to see where this was going, you know? Like,
yeah.
So, if it's not going to be Penelope, that's a hell of a pull. Because we thought Marina should be in this tournament. And we were kind of surprised that she wasn't, to be honest with you. But, hey, sometimes it's like Commander getting into the C2, man. Sometimes you just get the right opportunity at the right time, you know? I hope Marina crushes this. And then our main event, the Friday night four-way fight to become the number one contender for the World Championship, Samoa Joe versus Hook versus Ricochet versus Bobbert Lashley. It's like, this match was almost like, who can survive the carnage was kind of the vibe of this match, you know? Like,
no, genuinely.
The crowd cooked here. Hook was selling like crazy for Joe. Incredibly, Bobby Lashley managed to fucking, with very little effort, lift Samoa Joe off of his feet. Fucking insane. That guy's a fucking freak, you know? And I'm not even saying Joe weighs that much. Joe's just a thick man. He's very muscular. That's a lot of meat you're lifting up there, you know? Like,
that it is.
Hook, okay, this was a cool little spot. Hook broke up a pin after eating, a murderous power slam from Joe. Joe absolutely killed the guy with a power slam, and then he gets back up and breaks up a pin. Just fucking absolute animal. Hook hit a T-bone on Joe at one point, which, again, Hook, not as big of a guy as Bobby Lashley, still got him up, you know? Oh my God, there was this spot where Lashley speared Joe, who had fucking Hook up in a muscle buster. I mean, I don't know how anybody survived that, you know? And then Ricochet breaks it up with a springboard. Ricochet then grabbed the chair as Lashley was trying to get back in the ring, hit him in the back with it. Lashley was like, that's not a wise move. Chases after him. Ultimately, Joe catches Hook in the hold, chokes him out. Hook taps. Went the way we all thought. After the match, I'll get to in a second. But Charlie, your thought on this Friday night four-way fight to become the number one contender? I thought there was a lot of good stuff in this.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff within the match. But ultimately, I was really focusing a lot on Hook today. And you know, the match itself, inherently, completely unfucking necessary. Because we all knew Joe was winning. But, you know, that I guess they tried,
video package like 45
they tried
minutes
to throw us off with the tag match, so I'll give them credit for at least trying to give you a little bit of a red herring. So But yeah, I mean, the match itself was fine. The ending, it kind of, you know, Bobby Lashley kind of just left it open for the other guy to win, but that's fine. I again, like I kind of said earlier, someone had to be in that position if you're going to do it like that, because I believe every wrestler here was tunnel visioned. That was kind of the main gimmick was, you know.
They both won a lot, but now that's why they were in this match, to give the opportunity for Joe to sneak the win on Hook, because Hook's less experienced
and so, smaller. So, but yeah, all in all, solid match, action-packed match, and you know, we'll get to the ending here in a second, but yeah, you know, fun little post-match angle, too.
Yep, and in that post-match angle, we have Joe, interviewed by Chavone, and he's like, give me the contract, I'll sign it right now. We're doing how do you feel about this? The idea of we're doing a live contract signing right after the match is made. I mean, maybe I don't know.
If it didn't go the route it did, I'd be like, what the fuck?
If they just but, signed you know, it and went
ultimately, clearly Hangman was in cahoots. So
yeah, she had Shivani on the fucking tape.
They might have done this behind the back of Mr. Khan.
I just realized I misspelled Tony's name when I talked about what he did, and I'm going with it now. So Samoa Joe is given a beer to drink. And then this fucking face Joe makes when he gets given the beer is so fucking funny.
Hey, I'll drink some Mick Ultra.
Hey, beer, Hangman, this is clearly poison. That's what my mind said, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'm not drinking something the Hangman would drink, you know? With the look on his face, you know? It's like Samoa Joe. And he doesn't take a drink of the beer. I took a note of that. I think he didn't believe the beer was safe. I don't think Hangman would poison anybody, but you never know.
You never know.
Darby is a chloroform rag, like, you know, like it. You know, yep. Things are on the table here at AEW, you know. So poison a drink, it might happen at some point. I wouldn't be surprised if the sisters have sent poison to somebody at some point. That could happen. But anyway, he's attacked by Hangman Adam Page, who is disguised as Tony Schiavone, but I wrote it as Toby Schiavone, so he's Toby Schiavone now.
Toby Schiavone
attacks Samoa Joe from behind, and you know, stands tall. Solid little ending here. Samoa Joe left looking like a fool. Yeah, I mean, look, am I an asshole if I say this is the smartest Hangman's looked through his entire title reign so far?
No, the smartest he looked was the Kyle Fletcher out with the TNT title for sure.
Sure, that, fine. But this
was
close.
That was his smartest moment. That was where we thought the tides might have been changing.
Hey, he hit the Yoto reverse on Kyle. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, it was fucking very, very smart. He gets all the credit in the world for that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, it's the main event of the pay-per-view coming up. It's going to be a good match, I suspect. It's just, why?
Why?
Anyway, with that being said, Charlie, that takes us to Collision. That's the end of Dynamite. So what you got for us over there on the Saturday?
Yeah, we have like this fucking badass opening here with the Day of the Dead inspired video package. Really good looking stuff. Chavone and McGuinness on commentary. And we open up with our Takeshita and Okada match versus the Acclaimed.
Bro, when I saw they were facing the Acclaimed, I was like, oh, Christ.
Best wrestler alive. Max Caster was cheering on Takeshita beating up Bowens. Good shit there. So, yeah, I don't know. The Acclaimed are so in their own way. They look like they're looking for sanctuary, looking for something to do, and they're trying to do this. Okada and Takeshita beat the crap out of him. Fun little tag here, honestly. Nothing egregious, but nothing overly spectacular. Big note I had here was Takeshita hit the Raging Fire to get the pinfall. And
big notes for me, dude. I mean, Bowens didn't look out of place against the two best Japanese wrestlers in the world right now, which is kind of crazy for him, you know? The other thing I noted about this dude, you know who really looked like they improved in ring in this match? And maybe it's just because he's wrestling Okada and Takeshita, but I thought the Caster actually looked really good here.
Yeah, Max is looking fine. Absolutely.
That's about all I had for this. I was really mind-blown they got into this match.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of cool. So... just kind of neat there. Okay.
Do we care about, like, are they going to have... because I guess my question with those two is, are they having another feud? Is that where this is going?
That part, I have no idea. So I just got this notification, too. So,
oh, Lord.
Pat McAfee said, there's a new number one, Josh Downs, gave the number to Sauce. And he's going to be wearing number two, like his brother Caleb at Ohio State.
That's pretty
Josh
fucking
Downs,
cool.
Again, one of my favorite fucking players in the NFL, and it's shit like this.
Selfless this, dude.
To other people, they might not give a fuck. But you know what? I fucking respect the
and
shit
you know
out
what?
Of that.
I fully expect Sauce to fucking compensate that dude.
He
There's
probably
no
will.
Way. He's going to give him a little bit of money. He just signed a big-ass contract. He's getting $26 million next year from the Colts. He'll give him some, you know. Or he'll take him out for some fun. Or maybe he'll be the next guest on the fucking Down to the Business podcast.
Yeah, here we go. So, yeah, it was pretty cool. Random little thing. I just... Willow and Harley are... Using their ability to smile will allow them to withstand the assault of Mercedes and Athena.
I like their argument here, dude. There's like, we don't got anything to lose. You're the super champions. We have literally just, we just are trying to win this tournament. We don't, this isn't a legacy thing for us. We're just trying to win this match. That's a good place to be if you're the fucking underdog.
And again, Harley, Cameron, and Willow are the perfect type of people to win this tag titles. So
it's kind of like
Harley,
Tennessee.
Harley's
Titans.
Earned it arguably more than anyone.
What, the tag titles? I mean...
Just a title in general.
Oh, well, true. She probably should have won the TBS title off of Mercedes.
So she is like...
Arguably. But then...
What the hell would her title reign look like? I would love to see it.
Well, I can tell you this. It would be a mix between she's so happy to be champion, and she also, I would think, she would put a new spin on the fighting champion thing. She would be fighting, like, fucking the most random people. Just out of nowhere. Like, for no reason. And be like, you want a title shot? You want to feel the wrath?
Feel the wrath of Harley Cameron. Feel the burn.
The burn.
All right. Mercedes Moné versus Olympia for the CMLL Women's World Championship. Thought it was fine. Didn't really have a whole lot going for it, going into it either. I mean, they tried. And I think just kind of the commercial breaks. I don't know. There was a couple things working against this match. Thought it was just fine. Mercedes has had matches a million times this, and we've seen Olympia be better in AEW already. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they just didn't get the fucking, didn't get it going, Duke. I don't know. Did you feel the same? I thought it was just fine. It's like a, you know, 3 out of 5. Fine match.
If this wasn't a match, you know what this was? This was a match leading up to Mercedes versus Stat. That's what it was. You know, it wasn't.
That's why,
like,
they put Stat on commentary and did all this. The whole.
I thought maybe,
you know,
this
chicanery.
Was going to be a match. No, I'm with you. I kind of thought, oh, this is on a big show with other big matches. This was just a selling point. They wanted to say, yeah, Mercedes is defending one of her titles. Come see it. Maybe
she'll get me wrong. If I'm there, I'm loving it. But
100%, it was good match. It was fine. It's just, you know, Olympia didn't really get to cook here, and that's fine. You know, because she wasn't expected to. This was setting up for more stuff with Stat. So it's fine, in my opinion. You also have Mercedes like tied up in like 17 different things right now. So it's like, it's kind of okay. You know, this one thing didn't need to be like insane, but yeah, anyway. Yeah. I mean, I was there anything like, no, I mean, I guess there's really nothing really to point out here. It was a good match, I guess. You know?
Yeah. It was just perfectly did what it had to do. And Mercedes hit the moneymaker and Olympia tapped out. We get the highlight of Blood and Guts challenge. Last Wednesday after Dynamite, Renee's interviewing the Bucks. Callis interrupts, asks him, there's a $1 million tag match on the table. They team up with Josh Alexander and face Kenny Omega and Jurassic Express. Bucks look conflicted, but they accepted it because, well, they have nothing left to lose. And, well,
I mean, a $1 million match. It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. So, good stuff.
Yeah.
Nixon Newell 100%. And Miranda, what'd they say? Alize?
Yes.
I thought it was Alize is what it looks like, but Alize!
Yes.
Versus the new team of Mega Bane and Marina Shafir. Sir. Newell is the former Tegan Knox, and Alize is a student of Booker T's school.
Alize's been on AEW before, I think, I want to say.
Yeah, she has, at least in ROH, but she might have been on Collision, too.
Also gay. And
yeah, they shared a moment of love.
They're a little bit of geek.
But was it any different than the Moxley and Dax makeout sesh in the middle of the pay-per-view?
No, that was still better.
Oh, okay. Just making sure. So, look, they attacked before the bell. Didn't work out. I got to mention this. Marina Shafir's entrance almost made me hit the robot. You know, that went hard.
That was pretty good. I wish I had timed the door opening a little bit better, but I'm with you. Oh, yeah,
damn.
She's good.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, she's going to get
in. Lock it in.
Yes.
Did they give them this win because they're losing?
Maybe.
Or did they give them this win
because they're winning? I mean, they're winning. Mm-hmm. They might be winning. They could be, winning.
Renee announces the Blood and Guts match. Think
back to Roddy being the first one put in that submission that she uses.
Yeah, maybe. So women's Blood and Guts match. That was a Blood and Guts match. Canon AEW. Finally...
He said that on commentary during her match. That is canon Roddy. Roddy said that. That's real.
So we finally have the teams. Tekla, Sky Blue, Julia Hart, Megan Bain, Marina Shafir, and Mercedes Moné versus Jamie Hayter, Queen Aminata, Harley Cameron, Willow Nightingale, Tony Storm, and Chris Statlander.
Okay, the names are insane. I'm so scared for the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Or the upcoming pay-per-views and stuff. Because there's a lot of people being thrown in there that are, I mean, involved in some very big stuff right now. It's a very scary moment for AEW.
Glaring omission of Ty J?
Ty has not been back for that long, so she hasn't really got a lot of history with any of these people currently. Not in people's recent memory anyway, so I think that might be the reason why. Maybe one of them is not 100% right now. Who knows? Or maybe they have plans for them. I think I would have
straight up subbed out Tony Storm and Chris Statlander, but then you're subbing out your current champion and your last champion. Is that the reason they didn't do it? I don't know. Did they keep in Chris Statlander for the Mercedes Moné foil? I don't know. I was shocked Ty J wasn't in this. But when I was looking at it, I'm like, where do you fit him in? I don't know.
Are Megan Bain and Marina on the other side of the bracket from...
Yes. So it's how the...
Are they on the same side of the bracket as Tony and Mina?
Yes.
Okay, they're going to face each other, and that's why Tony's
Mina's not even in the match.
Yes, but Tony will be. They're going to kill Mina. That's what's going to happen.
Maybe. But that means they're beating. So we're going to have the makeshift team beat Ty J? I don't know.
Well, you kind of had Ty J losing from the beginning.
To Penelope Ford and Megan Bain.
I mean,
I wouldn't have them beat him now.
Arguably, Marina is more powerful than Penelope.
But Penelope's earned these titles.
Well, but if we're just using
the whole gimmick of the tag team titles, if you want to look at it like, what are we doing with our first champions? The first champion's very important, right? I am scared that it's going to be Mercedes and Athena versus Mina and Tony. I think that is not what we should do. That is the complete opposite of what you should do. I would prefer it. You can give me the case of Tony and Mina, sure. But I think we need to do something different with these titles. And if Sisters of Sin winning, maybe that means the only other named teams losing. That's why I was pondering the question of, does Megan and Marina winning there equal them losing? Because I kind of hope it does. But with Ty J not even in this match,
it doesn't bode well for them in the tournament at all, does it?
It doesn't feel well. Yeah, I agree.
Which is crazy, because they're the entire reason why this tournament exists.
That's why when they announced it, I'm like, oh my god, where's Ty J? No, I know that's you can't satisfy everyone. There's 12 women in this fucking match. But I have to just acknowledge it, okay? I didn't think Tony Storm or Chris Statlander should be in this match. I don't think they've had any part of this Blood and Guts build. Neither has Mercedes. Mercedes shouldn't be in this match either. But we're going to put the big-time hitters in the first Women's Blood and Guts. And I acknowledge that. I'm just playing devil's advocate and just being honest here.
It's like, should the Jericho Appreciation Society, or was it whichever version of that it was at the time, should that have been in that? Probably. Now, it probably wasn't the best faction we had going. LFI was probably a better faction, right? But like, just that just wasn't there was no angle for that to get them there because they never used them. So it's like, you have to use what you have at your disposal. These are the people that have been established on TV for the last several months. You know, Ty J, like I said, it might just be they might have just come back at the wrong. It might have just been too late. And Tony maybe wanted to wait for them to do the tournament, but they just haven't been built up enough to win the thing. And that's kind of tragic, you know, but it is what it is, you know, like.
Yeah, but so keep an eye on that for the remainder of the tournament. But I got to tell you, with Jamie Hayter losing.
Yeah, no, I have no idea where this is going now. It could be anything.
I am slightly scared now that it is Athena and Mercedes versus Tony and Mina. Which is the only one I don't want. That's the only combination I don't want.
But it could be those two versus Megan and I mean, it could be them in the finals. Like, it could. Yeah. I mean, they're a big team.
Megan and Penelope felt like almost
that
the
would
perfect
be a hell of a match.
Marina
and Megan versus fucking Athena and goddamn Mercedes. That would be a fucking hell of a match.
Be good match. We had Commander Mark Briscoe and Roddy versus Jalisco, Beast Mortos and Sammy.
Random match fucking ever for no reason. Okay, sure.
I think I liked it, but I completely blanked it out of my brain. So I'm just being
honest.
A lot
of selling. Commemoration is what I wrote down. Yeah. I wrote, I don't think that they're turning Roddy anytime soon. I don't know why I got that vibe, but I just did. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not sure where they're going.
Another LFI loss, even with the addition of Sammy. They can't.
We have a conglomeration team that is quite literally, Charlie, and I'm not trying to be an asshole to anybody in the group, but it's a group built to lose to people, and you can't even beat that team.
Yeah. Tough knuckles, if you will, for the fellas here. But we get the recap of the angle from last night.
What a titanic fall Sammy Guevara's taken, by the way. This guy was a main eventer like 2 years ago, and now he can't even beat the conglomeration.
I wouldn't say he wasn't a main event, but he wasn't a main eventer.
They were in the main event of that one pay-per-view, the Pillars.
That's what I'm saying. He was in the main event, but I don't think Sammy Guevara was ever a main eventer. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like they've almost given up on him to an extent, but then again, they keep giving him ideas and he's holding those ROH tag. Was it just obvious that they were losing because Roosh wasn't in here? I don't fucking know. This group,
I'll tell
has
you, I
so
had
much.
I for sure thought this was a tag match with Roosh and Sammy Guevara, and I wrote that down, and then Roosh's music never hit, and I was like, okay.
Shit.
I was like, all right.
And then again, we get another smart hook. Eddie's trying to console him. Which again, Eddie's kind of taking on this father figure that is completely the only character that doesn't need it in the entire company. But other than that, he's trying to console him after his loss. And the cameraman questioned why he tapped out so quick. Hook just hits him with, when you're caught, you're caught. Live to fight another day.
That makes sense.
Why is it so hard for wrestlers to not, like, just tell us how it is sometimes? How true was that? He knew he was done. And when you kind of rewatch the footage, Hook kind of, like, mumbles to himself, and then he knows it. He's like, fuck, man. Instead of having this asshole break some fucking, you know, bones in my neck, let me just get out of here, you know? When you're caught, you're caught. Great week for Hook. Even though we lost, unbelievably great week for Hook.
Yes, and no surprise that it's because Samoa Joe's in the main event right now that Hook's getting a big shine, you know? That makes a lot of sense. Last time when Joe was champion, he gave him a match. He gave him all kinds of, you know, he mentioned him in promos for weeks after. It was a good time. And I think we're getting back there. I think, is there like a small possibility that Joe fails, right? I don't think he's beating Hangman. I just don't think he is, right? He might have beat him last time. The fact that he didn't, it would be surprising now, right? But maybe that's why he will, because it would be surprising. But is there a scenario where Joe fails and then Hook kind of like takes the next month to build himself up to get to the world title? Is that a thing that Hook can do? Or is he kind of like back in the line again because he lost this four-way?
That's true. It weighs a lot of fun, intriguing possibilities.
Because
if I'm
being honest, if I'm writing Hook's character, right? I'm writing Hook's character to take this loss and not just take it and then like disappear. I'm writing him, he's pissed off. Him and Eddie are training harder than ever. They're trying to get back to what it is that...
Well, they're teaming up with the world champ next week, so they got that going for them.
Yes. But do you get what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't just have him, like, I would have him stay in that
main
event.
Not drifting into the sun.
Oh, shit. Is he going to give Hook a title shot now because he owes him because he helped him with Joe? Shit.
And 4 years. Come on. He'll give him the time. He'll give Eddie one, too. You know, he might owe Shivani something, so...
Shit, he's going to owe Shivani, like, a fucking... God, Shivani's going to get a title shot. What's going on, man?
Shit. MXMTV casting call. These guys are fucking brilliant. They're hilarious, of course. They get the open challenge. Out walks the Bullet Club Gold, our new version, Ace Austin. Juice Robinson and Austin Gunn. Ace fit right in with the intro. They were just fun. I mean, they beat the shit out of them. Gunn hit Mansoor with the Famouser. Austin followed up with the fold, and Robinson took the pin. I mean... You name it, it was a good time. It was really just quick, fun, hurt nothing, good giggle on Collision. And then that was it for the show. So, yeah. Good collision. That was, you want to talk about booking perfection? Putting that little segment right before that main event. I mean, that is perfectly placed on the card. How do you like an Ace Austin in the guns? In the Bullet Club, if you will. I think it's fitting in really well.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't really seen a lot of them wrestle yet so far, but I'll be honest with you. Like, I mean, you know, even his little like flip in the entrance, I was like, all right, this guy's going to work out really well. And I suspect when we have the full group back together and they do the full version of the, you know, fucking intro, it's going to be fucking insane. Like, I can't even imagine, you know. But yeah, so far, I think he's been that addition that the group needed. Like, we talk about this group has always been hamstrung by the fact that there's been, I mean, literally injuries and stuff like that constantly throughout its tenure. So right now, two of the main members are gone, and you bring in Ace Austin, he kind of injects some life back into it, and you're just hoping that maybe they can carry this to like a trios title win or something like that, so that way when the other guys can get back, that maybe they have something, you know, to work with, and maybe that you carry that momentum into some singles wins or something like that for some of the other guys, or maybe, I don't even know. Possibilities are endless.
That they are. That they fucking are. So, yeah, I guess let's get out of here. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. Fun show, fun week of wrestling. And thanks for checking us out. We really appreciate it. At the end here, we're just going to plug our other stuff real quickly. We have a podcast called ESE Fantasy, where we just reviewed the new movie Begonia. So if you are interested in seeing that and you want to check that out, that was a fun review we just did. And we're watching the new TV show, I Love LA, the new HBO show. It's a comedy. It's pretty fucking funny. So we got a review up of that, too. So, again, if any of those tickle your fancy, let us know. We appreciate that if you are interested. So, that being said, thank you so much for joining us today. And if you enjoyed the show, hit the little follow button. And we will catch you guys next week when it's the preview to Blood and Guts. It's 8 days away from right now. Holy shit. All right. See you guys later!
Tom Freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase!
Blood, guts, and Mordor!